Are you able to hear me okay, Brother James? Very thankful for this opportunity that the Lord has blessed us to be able to gather together, and very much appreciate the prayer that's been prayed by our brethren, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank God for the prayer. We'd ask that each one of you would pray for us as we look into God's holy word. If you have your Bible with you this evening, please turn with me to the 37th Psalm. I'd like to begin by reading just verse 23 of the 37th Psalm. David, by inspiration of spirit, writes, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." When we consider this 37th Psalm, which begins by David, the Lord exhorting us to not fret ourselves because of evildoers. When we go through the psalm, we find many reasons why, when facing the difficult times of this world and facing the evil workers of this world, we should trust God, place things in God's hands, and trust Him for judgment. Also, the psalm instructs us in many ways in what we should do while living in an ungodly world and delighting in the Lord and putting our trust in Him and walking in obedience to His commands. David, in this one particular verse, says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." I don't think David, the penman here, is saying that a man that's a good man is a man that's nothing more than a robot or a puppet that's being handled by the Lord and placed and forced where he would need to be. I think David is saying a man that is walking in a good way, he's following the orders of the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, like a person in military that would walk in step to the commands of a captain, a sergeant, a general. David is saying the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And this individual that walks in these commands is an individual that's walking according to the temporal will of God. You know, the Lord has a temporal will that he reveals to us as his children in his commandments. And the Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will come unto him and reveal myself to him." If we love the Lord, we will seek his commandments and walk in those commandments. And that individual that walks in those commandments is following the temporal will of God. I know the Bible teaches us about God's eternal decreed will, those things that he speaks, and when he speaks, they're done. I think in Genesis chapter 1, we read of God's decreed will in creation. When God spoke, those things were. God didn't ask anyone to help, he didn't ask anyone's opinion. It was just God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And when he spoke, those things were. I know there's situations in time when God has spoken, when he has directed, and it was like the parting of the Red Sea. It parted because it was God's will to do so. And it was Nebuchadnezzar that came to a conclusion that God is sovereign in his decreed will. There in Daniel chapter 4, verse 35, when he said, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and there's none that can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou?" We read of God's eternal will and decreed will concerning our eternal salvation. We can read about that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, as well as Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, "In whom we have obtained an inheritance according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." And what's important for us to understand at the same time, there is a revealed or temporal will for God's children. And that individual that walks in a good way, when you see an individual that's good, first you're seeing a born again child of God. When he's manifesting good in his life and doing good, he's an individual that's walking according to the temporal will of God and his commandments. And that individual, according to this verse, and I'll be honest with you, this verse has never been one I've been satisfied with, the second part, he delighteth in his way. I've heard individuals say that this is God that delights in the individual that walks in a good way as it's revealed to him. And I'm okay with that because I do believe a child of God that walks in accordance to the commandments of God pleases God. I find there in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 6, there was a man named Enoch that had this testimony that he pleased God. And I don't know of any better way to live than living a life according to the commandments of God that would please God. But I also have heard this verse applied to the individual. That individual that walks according to the commandments of God, the good man who walks as God has ordered, that man delighteth in his way because there is a lot of happiness and a lot of joy that may be experienced by living by the commandments of God. I think the Primitive Baptists have termed that as time salvation, as we have blessings according to Mark chapter 10 and verse 30, here in this time by walking in God's commandments and according to his word. He delights in his way. I realize that was a long introduction to get to what is on my mind this afternoon, but I would ask that you would pray for me. When we consider this good man that walks according to the commandments of God, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I think it's a good verse for us to consider, it being the first day of our year on our calendar here in the United States of America. I'd like to wish you all a happy new year, and I trust that the 365 days that we have before us, if the Lord doesn't appear in the clouds, will be days of blessing and prosper and peace for you as God's children. You know, today is a unique day for a lot of people here in the United States of America, for a lot of people around the world, because today is a day when a lot of people have made their New Year's resolutions. I mean, I'm sure some of you last night coming into today, and I will admit to you, I went to bed last night before midnight because I was going to guess that today would be very similar to yesterday, other than just having a few more parades on TV and a couple more ball games. I thought today would be very much like yesterday. I went to bed early, but in my prayers yesterday, afterward, I made some promises to myself. Well, what do people do when they make a New Year's resolution? I'm sure Brother Mickey and his affiliation with schools, it's a pretty common thing for people in schools to converse with you about their New Year's resolution, whether it be teachers or students, faculty. New Year's resolution. What a New Year's resolution is, by definition, is just a promise that you've made to yourself that something you've done this past year or in past time is going to be different in this upcoming year. It's kind of a covenant that you made with yourself that it would be different this upcoming year. And I know there's many here in the United States of America that have probably made New Year's resolution concerning their health, maybe weight loss, maybe eating better, maybe taking better care of yourself, maybe more exercise. There's some that probably made New Year's resolutions concerning travel. They may have said, you know, this upcoming year, I want to see more of the world than I saw this past year and in my past life. There's others that would make New Year's resolution concerning education or even the workplace, anything that they would have before them. And I'm sure there were a lot of New Year's resolutions that were those that children of God really shouldn't be wasting their time thinking about. But there are things that children of God can desire for themselves and desire to be better the upcoming year, making promises to themselves, making a covenant agreement with themselves that are not wrong. They're good. And I would hope that each one of us ended up this past year thankful to the Lord for all that he's done for us, because the Lord has truly been good to us all. I think we could all sing the hymn, "The Lord Has Been So Good to Me," with conviction this evening, because we could all thank God for how good he's been to us. And at the same time, we can look forward into the next year and say, I want next year to be even better than this year. My hope is for all of us this upcoming year to be closer to the Lord, to know more about the Lord, to give more time to the Lord, to give more time to our service to the Lord than we ever have in our lives. I mean, that's not wrong to have that wish and that want. Could someone amen that tonight? I think we could amen. I want to be better this upcoming year than I have been this past year. And this afternoon, I started right after lunch, as I've been here at the house by myself for the entire week. Sister Jennifer and the kids went to Washington, D.C. to spend some time with her sister, and her sister is very sick right now. I would ask that everyone please pray for Sister Cindy, my sister-in-law, and also pray for my wife and kids. They're trying to come back home right now. They're going to be home very late, and I'm looking forward to having Miss Loudermilk back in the house. So here, this time I've spent by myself today, I thought about some promises I could make to myself, some things that I could have a goal concerning, that I would be better this upcoming year than I was this past year. And I think one goal that would be good for me, and I think it's good for me to exhort all the children of God, is for us to desire to be closer to the Lord this upcoming year than we were the year before, and even in times past. It's not wrong for us to want to sanctify more time in our lives to give to the Lord. You know, the world constantly steals from you, and I mean, it'll desire from you so much, and then if it'll take away your straw trying to make the bricks for the world, and just constantly steals, and every promise the world makes of time-saving devices is nothing but a lie. I think it's good, would be good for us to desire to spend more time with the Lord. And someone may ask, well, Brother Ronnie, this upcoming year, if I want to spend more time with the Lord, what is something I could do? What about spending more time listening to God? Well, how do I listen to God? I listen to God by reading his word. That's the primary way I listen to God. You know, someone says, I wish the Lord would speak. That way I would know what, you know, his will for me would be. A great place to start, if you want to find God's will, you want to find some answers in life, is go to God's word. You know, this upcoming year, I want to spend more time in God's word. I would like to spend more time enjoying the blessings of just reading God's word. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed is he that readeth the words of this prophecy. Blessed is he that readeth and heareth the words of this prophecy. And you might say, well, Brother Ronnie, I tried to read the book of Revelation and I didn't understand any of it. Well, it didn't say blessed is the man that understands it all, because I'm going to confess to you, I haven't met a man that I think understands everything about the book of Revelation. And it seems like the older ministry that I talk to, as they grow older, they preach from Revelation less and less, and they preach from the other books in the Bible more and more. Because the book of Revelation is a book that I've never met a man that I thought had a full grasp of all 22 chapters. But it didn't say, blessed is the man that understandeth. It said, blessed is that man that reads. If we keep reading the word of God, if we don't have an answer, we keep reading and listening to God, God will finally give us an answer if we keep listening to him. Have you ever heard people say, I'm just listening to the Lord, but you go to their house and there's dust all over their Bibles? Brothers and sisters, if we're listening to the Lord, there's not going to be dust on our Bibles, because God has inspired this word. This word came from the Lord, and God has preserved this word for us as his children. You know, it's possible to believe in the inspired word of God and not believe in the preserved word of God. Brothers, sisters, I'll declare to you at this time, I believe in the inspired and preserved Word of God, and it's the King James Bible, and I believe that's God's revelation to us, Him speaking to us, that we could spend more time with Him. Another way we can spend more time with God is in prayer, speaking to God. God speaks to us primarily through His Word, through the gospel. I realize God can speak to us through impressions of mind, through others that would be a help to us. But the primary way God speaks to us is through His Word. We speak to God through prayer. You know, God's always got time for us, brothers and sisters. You know, sometimes we need to find someone to talk to and they don't have time for us. Sometimes you can't find someone at home to talk to. I had times when I wanted to talk to someone about a verse of scripture and I'd have to call three preachers to find one at home to talk to. I'm very thankful that the Lord is always there when I need to talk to Him. His eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are always open under our prayers. And I love that portion of scripture in Revelation chapter 8. When the incense comes up to heaven, there was a silence. God had a silence in heaven when He receives that incense, the prayers of the saints. It's almost like you got a father that loves his children. And he loves his children so much, he tells all the kids, please be quiet. My little child wants to talk to me. The Lord's ears are always open for us to talk to Him. And when we pray to God, we should pray in faith, pray believing, and pray with importunity, and just continue in prayer and pray without ceasing, as the Apostle Paul said, showing our desire to talk to the Lord. I think when we think about spending more time with God, a good place to spend time with God is at His house. And I, brothers and sisters, I know that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ are the people. But there's a place where the people meet, and it's that building where they meet. And if you want to spend more time with God, how about meeting in that building with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ when they meet together? If you want to spend more time with me, it would make more sense that you'd come to see me at my house. Brother Kim and Sister Deborah Honeycutt are here on the meeting tonight. Brother Kim, if I want to spend more time with you, I believe I can just come to your house and spend time with you. If I want to spend time with the Lord, I need to go to His house. People say, I want to spend more time with God. Well, go to His house. I'll see you at church on Sunday. Some of us have made not only promises, resolutions, spend more time with God. We made resolutions to be better husbands. Some of you maybe made a resolution, I want to be a better wife, a better mother, some better children. I mean, the Bible teaches us how to be better husbands, how to be better wives, how to be better children. I mean, God, someone say, I want to be a better parent. Well, if you'll be a better parent, go to the Lord. The Lord's the best parent of all. He's got more kids than all of us. I mean, there in Psalms 127, the Lord gives us the keys to parenting. If you want to be a better parent, God will help you be a better parent. You'll find other people that will make resolution, I want to be a better citizen of the United States of America. Praise God. I wish we had a lot of folks like that, don't you? I wish we had a lot of people that want to be a better citizen here in the United States of America. I think God calls on us to be His disciples and to be good citizens of the United States of America, to be good citizens in the community we live, to be subject under the principalities and powers, the governments of this world. It's right to be a good citizen in the sight of God. Some of us make a resolution to be a better employee, to be at work and perform better than you had before. I mean, Colossians in the end of chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4 instructs us as employees, even as management, in places of employment, how to be better. And all these are good resolutions to have. Would you agree? To be closer to the Lord, to be better in my family, to be a better citizen, to be a better person in our community. Do you know there's a day that is not often talked about on our calendars? And there's a commercial on TV that's now using this day as part of their little sales pitch. This day is the second Friday in the month of January. You know what that day is known as? National Quitters Day. How many of you saw the watch commercial? You know, you get this certain watch, and it'll help you not to be part of National Quitters Day. National Quitters Day on our calendar this year is going to be January the 10th. That's the second Friday of this year. Well, what does that mean, Brother Ronnie? That's the day when everyone that made a New Year's resolution quits and gives up on the second Friday in January. Now, we've made all these promises. I have that I want to spend more time with God. I want to read His word more. I want to pray more. I want to be in church attendance more. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better citizen here in the United States of America. I mean, God forbid, please help me that I would not be numbered on National Quitters Day, because not only does the Bible exhort us to get a good start in doing the right thing, God exhorts us to continue in the right things. I mean, it's good to get a good start. And if there's anyone here this evening that's not a member of the Primitive Baptist Church, if you haven't joined the Primitive Baptist Church, I want to exhort you to join the church. If you're waiting for the right time, that time is now. And that time was yesterday. Just join the church and be baptized and get your time started right. Get started, but not only start, continue in those things of the Lord until the Lord takes you home or He appears in the clouds. Jesus, in John chapter 8 and verse 31, He said, if you continue in my word, if you continue, you're my disciples indeed, continuing in His word. John chapter 15 and verse 9, Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, even so have I loved you. Continue in my love. We need to continue in this love for the Lord and love for one another. I think it's the book of Jude, and it's verse 22 in the book of Jude. If you're wondering what chapter in the book of Jude I'm referring to, that New Year's resolution of reading God's word would be very good for you. The book of Jude, I think it's verse 22, it reads, keep yourselves in the love of God. Brothers and sisters, that's something for us to do right now in continuing in what we've started. Get a good start, continue, because our race is not done until God finishes our race. I remember in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, when it was the Apostle Paul and Barnabas here on this missionary journey. Someone says I should refer to that as an apostolic journey. Okay, it was an apostle with Barnabas, and they went on a mission preaching God's word. They went on a mission preaching God's word, seeing children of God obey the word and churches being established. And they exhorted them with purpose in Acts 14, 22, that they would continue in the faith. You know, sometimes Brother Kim Honeycutt, I already mentioned his home, I'll mention something he said to me. Brother Kim told me, he said, I was an old line Primitive Baptist when you were born, Brother Ronnie. Well, Brother Kim, I'm thankful for that, but my hope is that the Lord will bless you to continue to be an old line Primitive Baptist until your last breath is taken or you see the Lord in the clouds. Continue in those things. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 11 and verse 22 and 23, he warns us that there's things that we stand in jeopardy of losing if we do not continue in those things. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, but continue in those things which thou hast learned and been assured of. Continue therein. So not only is it my desire that you, dear children of God, would make a promise to yourself, start out the year right. I want you to continue in the year and just get better and better in your service to the Lord all through the year, and in the next year, make another promise to be better than that and continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ until your last breath or see the Lord in the clouds. Well, Brother Ronnie, that's what I want to be. Well, I want to give you some things to encourage you just a little bit. I got 5 minutes. One, brothers and sisters, we always need to make realistic goals, okay? Have you ever met someone that says, I'm going to start reading the Bible? I'm going to read it 20 times this year from cover to cover, and I'm going to start in the book of Revelation. I think, you know, I think you should back up and get a realistic goal. How about just working this year and trying to read it one time? What about maybe starting in Genesis 1, Romans 1, or Psalms 1? Have a realistic goal for yourself. You know, I want to encourage people to read the Bible throughout the year to be closer to God, and I give out to anyone that asks Bible reading schedules. I've got two or three different Bible reading schedules that I offer to anyone that asks. I've got one that I've used for probably 25 years, and I use it, and it kind of exhorts me and keeps me on page and reading the Bible through every year. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, reading the Bible all the way through is a huge benefit for you as a disciple, listening to the gospel, spending time with the Lord. I mean, it is a big help for you as a child of God, but always keep a realistic goal in mind. I think another thing I would like to mention to you as children of God, and I have to remind myself, is don't be so hard on yourself if you have a hiccup or if you stumble. You know, sometimes you run into individuals, they have a stumble, they just, well, I've stumbled, I missed a week reading the Bible, I missed a couple Sundays at church, you know, I can't do it, I just give up. No, don't be hard on yourself. Trust me, dear child of God, the Lord loves you. I mean, if the Lord knows every step that you'll ever take in your life, if He knows every hair that you got on your head, if He knows every thought that you've had, if He knows every tear that's ever went down your face, if He knows every word that's ever come out of your mouth, and the Bible declares He knows that of children of God, if He knows that about you, He loves you enough to give you a second chance in His service here in this world. I mean, just ask Abraham, just ask Jonah, and just ask Peter. God loves His children and gives place for repentance for us to return back to Him. Now, when it comes to eternal salvation wasn't by chance. That was by the purpose of the eternal God in heaven who saved us by His grace. But in this temporal world, when we have a hiccup and we stumble, brothers and sisters, the Lord loves you. And you know what? We as children of God should love one another and be reminded of our own errors, lest we would be high-minded in ourselves. And I think the Apostle Paul warned the Galatians of that there in Galatians chapter 6. I think the next thing is, if you've got these good goals in mind for this year, it'd be important for you to spend time with people of similar goals. You know, the Bible says there in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. If you want to be encouraged to do good things this upcoming year and continue in good things, spend more time with people who want to do those things. It will encourage you and you'll be encouragement to them. I don't know anything that encourages me more in doing good things and the right things than being at the house of God, spending more time with my friends in the kingdom of God, in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is good for us to meet together. It is good for us not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. It is good that we provoke one another unto love and good works. Did this encourage you more, brothers and sisters, to be at the house of God and talk to people that are trying to read their Bibles, that talk to people that are in prayer? I mean, it does me good to be at Union Grove Primitive Baptist Church on Sunday morning and just hear all the prayer requests. That encourages me to pray more. Does it you? And finally, I want to say this, all this that we do, if we labor to put forth this labor, it's not for our glory, but it's for the glory of God. We do these things not to bring attention to ourselves, but to glorify our God, our Maker, our Savior in heaven. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, I'll end with this verse, Brother James. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Just fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And may God richly bless you all to have a wonderful new year.